This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Scott Finn.
And that's the way it is. Friday, March 6th, 1981. Good night.
That, of course, is Walter Cronkite from CBS News. He spoke to millions of people every night at a time when more Americans got their news from a relatively small number of sources. Of course, in the digital world, those things have changed and our options have changed. And to talk to us a little bit about that is Kelly McBride. She's with the Sense-Making Project of the Poynter Institute. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott.
So, Kelly, in the digital world, we're increasingly in these bubbles where we're surrounded by people who think like us. Describe for us what exactly is going on.
One of the things that has been pretty well documented recently is that Facebook and, to a lesser extent, Twitter are referring people to their news. But it can also create a bubble where you're only getting a certain political viewpoint or you're only getting a certain philosophical viewpoint because you are friends with people who share your values.
So let's say you're a liberal Democrat, you're likely to be friends with liberal Democrats. And then in the social media world, you're likely to be referred stories that would be of interest to liberal Democrats. Google will look at you and their algorithm would say, wow, this is a liberal Democrat. I should serve them up some more liberal stories. What does that do for our knowledge of the world and for democracy in general?
Well, it tends to make a free exchange of ideas less likely to happen because you're more likely to simply be exchanging ideas with people who already agree with you.
Not to sound too much like Donald Rumsfeld here, but the question seems to be, how do we know what we don't know? And this problem is being caused by this new digital world, and the digital world has a supposed answer to this. There's an app for that, as they say. What is it and how's it supposed to work?
Well, we looked at this new tool called Rebutter. That's R-B-U-T-R. And it is a tool that you put onto your browser, a toolbar, where when you are looking at a piece of information, you can look up at that toolbar and you can find other information, other points of view that other people in the crowd have gone out and discovered in order to counteract a particular idea or point of view. So it's really meant to foster debate and to create an experience for the news consumer that exposes that consumer to different points of view.
Okay, so I understand that you guys have tried this app out. How's it work?
So when you look at the toolbar, you might go to a news story, say, in the Tampa Bay Times, and you look at the toolbar, and it will tell you if other people have flagged other stories or other columns on the same topic that maybe have a contrary point of view. And you can look at those. They drop down as you hover your mouse over them, and you can click on them. You can also add to that, so you might find another point of view. And then the crowd votes up or down the best points of view.
How'd it work?
It works really well. The key is that in order for it to be completely successful, they have to gain critical mass, which they don't have right now because it's a brand new service that they're offering. They're up for a grant from the Knight News Foundation. And if they get that grant, they're likely to be able to get the critical mass that will make this really successful. In addition to getting critical mass, the people at Rebutter are going to have to work very hard to get a diversity of political and philosophical points of view. Because if you have a lot of people, but they all share the same point of view, then obviously the app isn't going to work. So, for instance, we went to an article by Andrew Sullivan on the Daily Beast. The headline was, "Did Jesus Foresee the Constitution?" And other users submitted other articles that offered a counterpoint, such as one by a user, Ryan Bell, who submitted an article that said, "Conservative Mormons will be crazy politicians, moderate ones won't." And it offered a counterpoint of view to what Andrew Sullivan was arguing. And ultimately, it created this experience where, as a user, I had a completely different understanding of Andrew Sullivan's original article because other users had submitted different points of view that I would have never stumbled upon had I not had the Rebutter toolbar installed on my browser.
So we've been talking about ideological bubbles, but there are lots of other bubbles too. Here's just one example. You mentioned something called Call Me Baby and said that that was a big thing on the internet. And did I know about it? And I had no idea. I imagine some of our listeners might not know either. Talk a little bit about what in the world is that?
Here's the thing. So I live in a particular internet bubble too, and it involves a lot of 40-something moms and a lot of teenagers. And Call Me Maybe is a particular internet meme that has just taken off like wildfire. So there's a song, Call Me Maybe, by Carly Rae Jepsen.
I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell, and now you're in my way.
And it's this very cute little video, and that went viral. But since then, there have been all of these other people doing lip dubs to that video, including the Harvard baseball team, and then Jimmy Fallon and his band got together with Carly Rae Jepsen, and they did their own version of Call Me Maybe. And so if you look at Call Me Maybe memes, which I happen to find from my Facebook feed because all of my friends are posting them, you will find dozens and dozens of these. But the fact that I am immersed in these and you didn't know anything about them is a perfect illustration of the fact that we live in completely different internet bubbles. So in my world, everybody knows about these memes. And in your world, it's not quite as popular because you're a different demographic.
Yeah, I guess older white guys that know what the last set was for the Bruce Springsteen concert, but I had no idea about Call Me Maybe. And I'm a little embarrassed to say this. I even have a 9-year-old daughter. And, you know, after you told me about this, I went to her and said, okay, Call Me Maybe. And she's like, yeah, that's a great song. So we went online together, Kelly, and my daughter and I, we found this mashup or smash up or whatever you call it. It basically had taken President Obama's speeches, all of them, and they have cut them up in such a way that they force him to sing the song.
Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy. But here's my number. So call me maybe. It's.
Which is adorable.
There you are. And I was missing this cultural experience because I was in my bubble. So will Rebutter deal with things like my Call Me Baby bubble?
Well, sure. Rebutter could have redirected you, but you have to be open to the experience.
All right. Opening us up to new experiences every week. It's Kelly McBride at the Poynter Institute and their sense-making project. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, Scott. Talk to you later.
Maybe.